Welcome to the Outsource Accelerator podcast. This is a short format podcast where we explore business and outsourcing mastery. My name is Derek Gallimore, and I am really excited to bring you the leading podcast in outsourcing. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and this is episode number 229. So today I am talking to John Canavo of the Maize Innovation Research Center of the Texas A&M University. I interviewed John in the previous episode, 228. John had not been to the Philippines in episode 228, and now, today, in 229, he has been to the Philippines. John, with his work, has been involved in Philippine outsourcing for about the last 6 years, and the Maize Innovation Research Center writes a lot on the topic of the future of work and a part of that being outsourcing. So in the previous episode, I got John's insight and understanding of outsourcing, and today we talked to John once he has now done a tour of outsourcing, spoken to a lot of people in outsourcing, and we reflect on the difference in his awareness and thoughts on outsourcing. So super exciting interview, and of course I learned a lot and enjoyed spending the time that I have done with John. So without further ado, we will get on with this podcast. If you want any of the show notes, of course, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/229. Enjoy. Hi, and welcome back, everybody. Today I'm joined again by John Canavo of the Maize Business Innovation Center. Hi, John. How are you?
I'm doing well, Derek. How are you?
Good, good. And so this is a really exciting episode because in between the last recording that we did and this recording, due to the magic of podcasting, you have since been over to Manila, Philippines. We have since met in person, and you've experienced some of the Philippines, obviously, but also the outsourcing sector, and we've done a few tours around outsourcing providers. So just wanted to get your feedback and experience in terms of the real life connection that you made over there. So you've been back now about a week or two, isn't it? And do you want to just I suppose in your summary give a brief overview of kind of what you did in the Philippines from a business perspective?
Sure, yeah. Thank you again for having me on the podcast, and of course thanks for all your help when I was over there. It was great to get to meet you in person. So I got over on the 10th, I think, and started with 3 days in Manila. I stayed in Makati and got to see that area, Quezon City, BGC, and a few other areas when you and I were driving around. So the point of that part of the trip was to meet with as many BPOs as possible to get their perspective on outsourcing and developments in outsourcing, the history of it, and where they think the industry in the Philippines is going to go in the next few years. So we had a bunch of meetings. I was able to meet with a whole group of very fascinating companies. Say we saw TaskUs, Deployed, KMC, Amapta, and we met with IBPEP too. And you know, a lot of similar impressions, but of course each group had their own take on things as well. I think one interesting point that came through on all the meetings was some of the anxieties and fears surrounding developments and technologies and how they're going to affect the outsourcing industry, namely in the Philippines. I thought that was very interesting, and we'll see where things go from there. So then I left, flew from Manila down to Cebu, and went all over Cebu, had a number of meetings there as well, on Mactan Island and then in Cebu City, as well with BPOs like Arcanus and Sophie. That was very interesting, and also quite interesting how different the two areas are from comparing Cebu to Manila. I then flew to Dumaguete for a day, and that was the most different, much more of a small town feel. It actually kind of felt like my hometown in Massachusetts, kind of a similar feel. They're incredibly friendly people, very welcoming at the SOFI office in Dumaguete, and that continued. Those BPO meetings were similar to the ones in Manila, but then I also had the opportunity to meet with some people who do freelance outsourcing work, and of course their perspective is quite a bit different. I think there's it's kind of seems like there are two ways to go for outsourcing. You can do the traditional route of being a full-time employee at one of these big BPOs, or you can work from home. And I think each side promotes its pros and says that the other side has too many things working against it. People that work from home don't have to deal with traffic, and people that work at a full-time job have the benefits of job security and actual benefits. So that was pretty interesting to compare those, and it's been nice to have this last week to reflect on this trip.
Yeah, and so we spoke prior to you coming over, of course, and during that time you have obviously been connected and involved in outsourcing for the last kind of 6 years throughout with your platform, and aware of this outsourcing movement in terms of its economic impact and the future of employment. In the last episode, we spoke about things such as traffic and jet lag, the time zones, but also things like political instability, and the potential for the Philippines to be the back end of the world. What is it on reflection? Do you see the sort of starkest learnings or starkest kind of reflections in terms of what you maybe weren't aware of in terms of outsourcing or sort of the opportunities in outsourcing or some of the detractors in outsourcing, between sort of an intellectual awareness of it versus actually just getting over and seeing the country.
Yeah, I think the trip was very eye-opening in a number of ways, of course. But as it pertains to outsourcing, I am even more maybe more positive about the future of outsourcing than I was before I took the trip. I think there are so many more opportunities than I had previously thought. It seems like a lot of the economy is based around the idea of outsourcing, and people are very committed to finding jobs in outsourcing. And I don't think that was my impression going in, that people are really shooting for BPO jobs and kind of setting the country on the path, like you said, to becoming the back office for the world. I didn't know that was truly as developed as it really is. So that was great to see. That was a big revelation. I think a lot of companies here in the United States would be interested to know that the country is well equipped to handle a number of things, but really to kind of live up to that title of being the back office of the world if more companies started outsourcing over there.
Yeah, and we, this is slightly loaded, a loaded question, but what did you feel in terms of the sophistication of the suppliers? Were you surprised in terms of, it's not just call centers, but actually now it is kind of any function. Were you was that a quite a contrast to what you initially envisaged?
Yeah, like you said, in terms of being loaded, I think you definitely know that it's incredible. It's not just call centers, and the places are incredibly sophisticated where Filipinos work. The offices, a lot of them have a kind of Silicon Valley feel, but they're of course not in Silicon Valley. So I don't know if I'm ever going to have the opportunity myself to work in a space that's as amazing as some of the BPOs that we got to see. Just all of the resources that are available to the workers there are amazing. Really seems like a place that I would enjoy working. So that's pretty awesome that they're able to take advantage of that. And then of course the other side, not just that they're in a cool workspace, is that they get to do cool work. Some people think that outsourcing is just the the call center has been, of course, has developed over the last couple of decades, and it's really much more developed than that. It really is anything that does not to be that does not need to be done in person can be outsourced and can be outsourced to the Philippines. So that was pretty amazing to see live, you know, to see in action and watch people in their workspaces doing pretty cool things. One thing that was pretty cool for me was I've got a wedding coming up, and there's a service called the Black Tux where you can set up your groomsmen with the suits that they're going to wear. And when we went to Dumaguete and toured their office there, we were in the back office for this company, the Black Tux, and they were on the phone with people like me and setting up their tuxedo orders. And I thought that was pretty cool just to see that happen live.
Yeah, it is amazing. I mean, we, you know, we kind of briefly went around the back office of Thumbtack as well. And when you actually see these organizations working as they do, they're kind of known logos, brand services in the West. But then when you actually see them being executed at a very high level in the Philippines, it's kind of cool, huh?
It is. It's very cool. You know, I wish more people had the opportunity to see all the benefits that this change in global business can bring to really everybody involved. It's just a win-win scenario for all parties.
Mm. And in terms of, you know, the cultural alignment and English, and, you know, very commonly I think people are concerned about the cultural barriers, the friction between sort of language and communication. And that is, look, that is very true. I myself get frustrated on when I'm phoning the bank and you get call centers and things like that. But in reality, how did you see the communication levels of people in the Philippines and the cultural alignment?
Very strong cultural alignment. I took pictures of each time that I saw something that was a little piece of the United States somewhere around the Philippines. I thought those were interesting. You couldn't drive more than 100 yards without seeing a billboard for Netflix, which I thought was really funny. And of course, all the fast food locations are over there as well. But then just having conversations with the people that work at the BPOs or at the hotels that I stayed at, or the Grab rides that I took, the cultures seem very aligned. Of course, the United States has had a relationship with the Philippines for quite some time, so it wasn't very surprising. But I was surprised to see just how proficient so many people were in English. I understood that people speak English in the Philippines, but I didn't think that it was going to be so strong. And, you know, there are a few differences in dialects, but of course that's the case with any English-speaking country. And very, very advanced skills in communication, and it was easy to be comfortable.
Amazing. And then finally, and I'll let you off the hook now, but then, you know, how do you, if there are businesses, you know, in Texas where you are, and, you know, there's a lot of apprehension, there's a lot of unknowns about different country, different culture, and it's really just getting people comfortable and kind of familiar, or I suppose at ease with the fact that it's a different country, but things kind of work the same. Do you have any advice on that, or any sort of way that you can kind of confirm that with people without them necessarily needing to get over there?
Yeah, I'd say you just got to give it a shot, and you have no idea how incredible the upside is of finding some back office support or an admin assistant or call center work or financial modeling or anything that you can imagine. You don't really know how huge the upside is until you give it a try. And then, of course, it seems like it really is a gateway that once you outsource for the first time, you get you add one person to your team from the Philippines, then you just get more and more into it. You want to add 5, 10, 15 more. So I'd say contact Derek and have him help you figure out a way to add some people to your team, because there are huge, huge advantages of it.
Amazing. I love that plug. Thank you so much, John. And yeah, it was really amazing to meet you. And yeah, it's great how these different streams of, I suppose, activity and interest and academia all mix towards, you know, the same kind of ideas and processes. So
Yeah, no.
it's been a great process, and look forward to keeping in touch.
I look forward to that as well.
Great. Thanks, John. And if anyone wants to know any more about the Maze Innovation Business Center, like how should they find out about that?
Oh, you can send me an email if you'd like at jcannavo@tamu.edu, or you can just Google Texas A&M and find the Maze Business School, and you'll find us right on the university website.
Amazing. Thanks, John.
All right, thank you.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah, that was great. Okay, that was John Canavo of the Maze Innovation Research Center as a part of the Texas A&M University. Really enjoyed talking to John. If you want to get in touch with John or see any of the show notes, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/229. And as always, if you want to ask us anything, then just drop us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.